What's goody? We're back again. Back to the podcast. Thank you, everyone, for coming back to the podcast. This is Basement Sports, your weekly sports recap in the Utah world and, frankly, national and hopefully international world. What's good? My name is Max Cooper. I'm your host. I hope you guys are having a great time today, you know, just because it's Saturday night. You know, sorry for the late upload. Thought I was going to have it on Wednesday, but I was just busy throughout the week. And so, but no, I'm getting to you on Saturday, and actually it's a really good time to do it because college football, and I'm a big Utah fan, and so I am on top of the moon right now. And so, let's just jump right into it because we can. All right. So Utah beat USC in the Pac-12 championship game. I was ecstatic. That made me super, 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 super happy because I hate USC with a passion. And the fact that we even made it in was a miracle to the Pac-12 championship because we lost to Oregon. And then at that point, we all thought, okay, we're out. There's no way we're getting into the championship game now because we just lost to Oregon. Our chances are over. But by some miracle through tiebreakers, we were able to make it in because we had to beat Colorado when we did. We handled them. It was like 60-something. It was like, yeah, it was a lot. It was like 63-21, I think, was the final score on that game. And then UCLA had to win. They did. Oregon State had to win. At one point, Oregon State was down 21. But they scored 28 unanswered and didn't throw the ball in the last 5 minutes of the game. That's insane. Oregon State won. And then Washington had to win in the Apple Cup, and Washington did win. Having Utah by all the tiebreakers and rules, I have no idea. I think it was because strength of schedule was the reason why we were in. And so Utah made it in off of tiebreakers because they had a harder schedule because they won the Pac-12 last year. And so they go to the Pac-12 championship, and USC is waiting for them. They were waiting for whoever was going to be, and it was waiting for Utah at the time, now, I guess. And the line opened up at USC -3, and it fluctuated. The lowest I think it ever saw it get to was USC -2.5. So it didn't even go that low. I think the highest I saw was like USC -4, too. So I don't know. It ended at USC -3. And I frankly was like, okay, I was a little bit scared this time. I knew I was hoping we were going to win. I was confident we were going to win. I had confidence, but I was kind of scared. Because the last time we beat them at home and at night. Utah at night is crazy, and it was in a tribute game. We had like a really good cause, and Dalton Kincaid had 200 some odd yards on 16 catches, and so I was kind of scared, but I was confident. I knew we were gonna win, but I was a little bit scared. But I wasn't able to watch all the game. I watched the second half of the third and the fourth. I was at a debate tournament yesterday, and today I just got back, but. Oh my goodness. I was following the game and I was shocked. Like I did not expect a 47-24 beatdown of USC. Was it maybe because Caleb Williams put F Utah as his nail polish that game? I think so. I hate Caleb Williams, honestly. I hate USC and their fans. Even you, Moose. Even you. I hate you. And yeah, I'm just kidding. I don't hate you, Moose. I hate your fandom. Your family's chill. Don't worry about it. But I was not expecting a 23-point beatdown. And here we go. Honestly, USC got out to a fast start, going up real big, up 17-3. And that was it for them after that. I mean, yes, Caleb Williams did get hurt. I will admit he got hurt. I don't care. Todd killed him. Got 7 sacks. Mekhi Bernard was big. Jaquinnon Jackson was huge. He had 13 carries for 105 and 2 touchdowns. Cam was great, as always. 22 of 34, 310, 3 scores. Money Parks, 4 catches, 88 yards, and a score. I mean, like, our leading receiver was Money Parks. Not Dalton Kincaid, Money Parks. And I like Money Parks. He's a fast little guy. You know, I like fast little guys. You know, it makes me happy to see that Utah's going back to the Rose Bowl, basically. And before tonight, so the playoff is looking like it's going to be just what it is right now. Georgia won. Michigan's winning right now at half. TCU lost. and USC lost. So before today, I thought if the playoff would be before, if TCU and USC lost, it would be Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama. Because Alabama's at six. Yes, they are a two-loss team and whatever, they haven't gotten in. No two-loss team's ever been in. Yes, I see that. But by putting them at number six is giving a notice to TCU and USC by saying, hey, like, we put them there, we'll gladly put them in. Like, if they don't, if you guys lose, we have no problem putting them in. And so, obviously, for Alabama to get in, it'd have to be both of them to lose because Ohio State's a one-loss team. And so, last night, Ohio State got its ticket punched because we beat down USC by 27 points, by the way. Yeah, 30-point spread cover. Let's go, Utah. Do my mic blow out? 30-point spread cover. Let's go, Utah. And so, yeah, we covered the spread by 30 points. Punching Ohio State's ticket into the playoff. Buckeyes fans, they love us. I've got an Ohio State fan. He's pretty happy with me right now. He likes me. And then today, I was watching the TCU game at my debate tournament, well, in between rounds. And I was watching it, and they lost. Frankly, like TCU, like it was an overtime loss, and TCU's Max Duggan is tough. That's a tough quarterback for TCU they have. That's one tough guy, but they lost, and they lost by three in overtime. So I don't know if that's going to be big enough, like if they lost by enough points for the committee to say, hey, Alabama, you're in, or if just because they frankly lost, like a one loss TCU team is. Frankly, like, do they have a better resume than a two-loss Alabama team whose two losses were by four total points combined? Like, I don't know, honestly. Like, by five total points, because they lost to Tennessee on the road in Knoxville by three, and then they lost to LSU in Death Valley by two. Like, at night, at both of these places, everyone knows that Tiger Stadium at night is magical. Some mysterious things go on there. And at the time, Knoxville was undefeated and looking great. And so, like, those fans are going to be crazy and they're going to be hype. And so, those are both extremely hostile environments, both extremely hard to play in at night, to be added. And they lost by a combined total of 5 points. So, is that resume better than a one-loss TCU team who lost by three in the championship game? And what when I was watching the TCU game, they kept on bringing up on how they had, like, how they've come back a bunch in second halves. And that, I thought of that, I'm like, okay, so they've had to come back. So does that mean they're actually good? If you're good enough to be in the playoff, you shouldn't be getting yourself into these holes. Georgia, they took care of business today. They destroyed LSU. Michigan is up one against Purdue, which it's not looking good, but they're still up. And then USC got killed. I'm sorry if it sounds repetitive in this episode, but I'm just going to keep talking about how USC kept getting killed and killed and killed and killed. And hey, USC got killed. But no, like looking at all those like teams, they never really got down except for Michigan when they got down to Ohio State at halftime, but then they came out and destroyed them. But looking at the schedules, like that seems like to be about it for them. Only time they were down. And so does that TCU team, yes, they have one loss. And it's in a championship game to Kansas State, which is a really good team, top 10 team for sure. But because will the committee like look at them and be like, okay, you guys are out because yes, you lost and you guys continuously got yourself into that hole. So why would we want it? I hope it doesn't happen. I don't want to see just all the blue bloods there again. I want to see, like, I want TCU thrown in the mix. I think they could wreak havoc if they, I don't think they're going to beat Georgia because I think they're going to fall back to number four now. If they won, then they stay at three and they're going to they would have caused some stuff to go down against Michigan, frankly. But because they're playing Georgia, Georgia's the best team in the league. Without a doubt. But I don't know, because if they do stay in, I think it'll be a good game between Georgia and TCU. I know Georgia will probably end up winning by 13, 14, 15 points. But I don't know. Like, is it worth seeing TCU get beat down to, or is it worth having to have like that variety, just to have TCU in there, so then watch them get beat down? Or do we want to have variety in our way, in our, like, the variety, do we want that? Or do we just want to have great football? Because if we just want great football, put Alabama in at number 4, Ohio State 3, Michigan 2, Georgia 1. Because we of course we want the rematch of the game in the playoffs. Like, who wouldn't want that rematch rivalry again? And then we, of course, we want Alabama versus Georgia, a high-powered offense versus an insanely good defense. So, like, what do we want as a fans? Personally, I don't know where I'm at on this, because I want to see, I hate seeing Alabama in the playoff every year. I was extremely happy. I'm rooting against Alabama every game I'm watching. Like, if Alabama's in a game I'm watching, I'm rooting against them. I hate Alabama. But if it means we get good football, because I will admit, watching Alabama is entertaining. I hate that they're so good. But, like, watch, like, I don't hate watching them, because they're fun to watch. I mean, Bryce Young, he should win the Heisman this year, honestly. Caleb Williams did not look good against Utah. He had a good first quarter. That's it. Put up 14 points. Honest like that. And I was scared because I saw it. I was following it. 14-3. I'm like, oh, crap. Here we go again. We're going to lose. But no. Like, he then frankly fell apart. And yes, I know he was injured. Yes, yes, this, this. But his arm wasn't injured. Like, he couldn't put it in the windows. Like, so, I don't know. Caleb Williams, I don't know if he's going to. I think he probably will. I don't want him to. I think Bryce Young should win it. But Caleb Williams probably will win it. And it is what it is. But, I mean, I'm pretty happy to say that Utah gave USC its only 2 losses. We are the Trojan killers. We own you, Trojan fans. Yes, sir. But, again, I don't know. I'm just a guy in my basement talking sports, having a fun time. On another note, let's go to the SEC championship game. Like I said, Georgia won. They won 50-30. There isn't really much to talk about in this game. Well, there probably is if you're an SEC fan, but I really don't, because I'm not an SEC fan. I don't really like it. But, I was following it, most of it, at my tournament. And so, LSU had their field goal block kicked, and Georgia returned it. And then LSU scored again, and then Georgia scored a touchdown, and then they scored another touchdown, and they scored another touchdown. And guess what? They scored another touchdown. And then finally LSU scored. And then LSU scored another touchdown. It was a field goal the second time, when I said they scored again. At the end of half, look at you guys go. And then, so they scored a touchdown up in the third. And then Georgia scored another touchdown. And then another touchdown for LSU. Another touchdown for Georgia. And another touchdown for LSU. 30-50. Greg Newsom? What is this? Garrett Neusemeyer led the Tigers, LSU Tigers, in passing. Jaden Daniels must have went down, going 15 for 27, 294, 2 scores and a pick. Sorry. Oh my gosh. Williams led the LSU in rushing with 6 carries for 55. And Neighbors had 5 receptions for 128 and a score. Stetson Bennett went 23 for 29, 274, 4 scores. Milton had 8 carries for 113. And Brock Bowers had 6 catches, 81 yards, and a score. Georgia just showed their Georgia. Georgia showed that they are the best team in the country. They're going to win the national championship far and away. Although, if Ohio State's at 4, that's going to be a very fun game to watch, just because I love that. That's going to be a high-powered offense versus a high-powered defense. There's 2 games going on right now. Purdue and Michigan. Michigan scored on their opening drive of the half. It was a run, 1-yard run. 21-13, Purdue has the ball. And it's 4th and 7, so they're probably going to punt. I picked Purdue in this game, like, amongst my friends, just because why not? Like, why not have havoc? Because Purdue, under their head coach, is 5-0 against top 5 teams. Why not have Purdue be that team to wreak havoc? Yeah, they just punted. Okay. And then Clemson and North Carolina is going on. Clemson's up 24-10. Nothing really much going on right now. Oh, DJ Uiagalelei got benched. It's the second time this year. Why? TJ, you suck. But no, Clemson, they're probably going to win that game. And yeah, that's about it. Let's go back to Utah. Let's talk some Rose Bowl for them. So, Utah, I saw two ways before last night of them getting to the Rose Bowl. Them winning outright and then them losing by no more than 3 points. Because if USC would have won, they'd be a lock into the playoff. And then the Rose Bowl would probably just take the highest ranked Pac-12 team. And that would not have been Utah if they lost, because it would have been Washington. Washington was a spot behind them. But if Utah, I feel like the committee would have said, okay, Utah, you just lost to a really good USC team, but you then kept it close, losing by a point, 2 points, or 3 points. We'll keep you there. We'll keep you ahead of Washington. You guys go to the Rose Bowl. Or Utah just wins outright, which they did. They won 47-24. Yeah. So who are we going to play? Who is Utah going to play? So Utah, we're either going to play Purdue or Penn State. We'll play Purdue if they win, but it's not looking good because Michigan just completed a 40-yard pass to the Purdue 27. Not good. But if Purdue wins this game, then they will be the Big Ten champions. Yes, Big Ten. And Michigan will still go to the playoff. They're a lock-in at number two, right? That they'll probably fall to number three, probably. And Purdue will go to the Rose Bowl. And I like Utah's chances against Purdue in the Rose Bowl. I'd like that. That'd make me pretty happy. Or if it's going as like right now, Michigan will win. And we'll play Penn State because they're then the next highest ranked Big Ten team not in the playoff. Because Purdue's going to be unranked then. I don't even think they're ranked now. And Penn State's ranked 8th. Yeah, Purdue's unranked. But Penn State is ranked 8th right now. And so we would probably play them. Because they are then the next highest ranked team. Yeah. Sorry, just pulling. What are they right now? Yeah, they're 8th. Okay. Penn State is 8th right now. So we would probably play Penn State in the Rose Bowl if Purdue doesn't pull it out. Which, I don't hate. That's better than the Ohio State matchup we had last year. Ohio State, we would have beat Ohio State if we had a cornerback, but we had to play Mekhi Bernard, a running back, at corner. So that's fun. But no, even then, we almost beat them. We only lost by 3 on a game-winning field goal at the end. I'm not salty about it. You're mad about it. I'm not mad. You're mad. But no. So Utah, they have a good shot. I think they're going to be favored in the Rose Bowl when it comes around in about a month. I hope I'll be able to go. I don't know. Hopefully I'll get that as a gift for Christmas. I don't know. But maybe. Hint, hint, Dad. Please. Please. Or anyone who I know. Please. But no. So, hopefully Utah will be able to win this time around at the Rose Bowl, cementing Kyle Whittingham's legacy as one of the greatest coaches in college football history. Frankly, 30-year tenure combined as an assistant coach and a head coach here at Utah. In my opinion, 4 straight Pac-12 championship appearances. I don't really count 2020 because we didn't play a whole lot of games that year. Yeah, we went in 18, 19, 21, 22. We won back-to-back. And so that's back-to-back Rose Bowl appearances, keeping it tight with Ohio State, winning in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama. I mean, look at that resume. It's insane. Utah every year is always having draft picks in the end into the NFL. We just had a first-round pick last year, Devin Lloyd. He's doing great right now. He's doing great for the Jags. RIP that he's on the Jags, that's really sad. But no, he's over there, he's on the Jags, he's doing great. I mean, Tyler Huntley, he's looking like he'll probably play next year. He'll probably start next year because Lamar Jackson needs a bag. He wants a bag. He wants that money. And so I don't know what you can ask better from Kyle Whittingham. I mean, he'll probably produce a bunch more draft picks this year. If Cam goes, he'll go. And I love Cam. I mean, Cam is the best. just because he's Cam Rising, you know? He's Thick Boy 7. How can you not love him? And so, yeah. We can talk. Let's talk a little NFL, I guess. Vikings won. Sorry, I'm not very enthusiastic right now about all this stuff. In fact, no, actually, no, let's not. Let's not. I'll just end it there on college football. This will just be a college football only episode. In terms of food, oh yeah, I forgot to talk about food today. Oh, breaking news right now, actually. Sorry. Breaking news coming across the show. That's pretty nice. Deion Sanders is officially named Colorado's next head coach. Would you look at that? Just got the notification on my phone on ESPN. That's really cool. I like that. But yeah, no, in terms of food, my last thing that I ate, it was Habit Burger. Yeah, DoorDash that food. It was good food. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, no. I hope you guys all have a good rest of your week or a good night. And I will I'll hope to get an episode out Wednesday. In fact, no, I'll speak it into existence. I'll talk to you guys next on Wednesday. Peace.